We last week, if you remember, we studied from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 29. Today, we are studying the same scripture, part 2. We could not finish last week, so we are continuing the same scripture. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29.
For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake.
Now he says, for unto you it is given. Now what is given to you? Somebody said, unto you is given in the behalf of Christ. When God has given you something because you are Christian, because you are a child of God, because you love Jesus Christ. So God has given you something. Doesn't say what he has given to you. But if you read further, he says he has given to you not only believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now somebody says, what God has given to me? Suffering? No. He has given you a faith. He has given you how to believe. He has given you the Jesus Christ. And when you behalf of Christ, when you are suffering, we learn the last week, James says, count it joy. We should be so happy that I love Jesus and I will do anything for him. And the word of God says God has already granted you, given to you what he has given, a grace. Without the grace of God, we cannot suffer. Without the grace of God, we cannot do anything. So God has given us in advance the grace of God. So he is saying, God has given you something behalf of Christ. If we were not Christian, we will not have this grace. We will not have this privilege to suffer for Christ. The worldly people cannot suffer for Christ. They are bringing the persecution. But if you are a Christian, you should be thankful to God that I am a Christian. I am born again, child of God. I love Jesus Christ. And for Christ's sake, I will do anything because he has given his life for me. So I am so grateful to God that God has given me his grace to just trust in him, to believe in him. Once you love the Lord Jesus Christ, then suffering is nothing. Because he says, God has given you, he has given you behalf of Christ, lots of grace. So we are not only believing in him, but we should be ready all the time to suffer for his sake. James says in chapter 2, starting from verse 14, he says, please read.
What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?
Somebody ask you a question. How do you get saved? Everybody will say you get saved by faith. James says you cannot get saved by faith alone. Just believe in Jesus. You have to suffer for him. So he says, not by faith alone, but let's read a little bit further. Verse 15.
If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone.
Now he gave an example. If you love somebody and the person is needy, needs a food, needs a drink, needs some care, and you say to that person, I love you so much. I love you so much. And you keep on saying it, is that going to help that person? No. So what happens when you say, I love you, or I believe in you, and you don't do anything for that person? That means your faith is useless. If I love Jesus Christ, and somebody comes with a gun and says, I want to know If you believe in Jesus Christ, yes or no? If you believe in Jesus Christ, I'm going to shoot you. And you don't say a word, and you keep quiet, is that faith is good enough? No. You're going to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm ready to give my life. Then you're going to get saved. If you just keep quiet, that means you don't have faith. Somebody asks you a question, do you believe in Jesus, and you don't say anything, what does it mean? You don't believe it. The same way he says, if you love somebody, you're going to act upon it. You're going to do something. You're going to help that person. If you love somebody, you put your life in danger for that person and help. Okay, verse 18.
Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?
Now he gives an example. He says, if somebody says, okay, I have faith. And somebody says, I have work. So he says, you cannot get saved by faith alone, and you cannot get saved by work alone. So how it works? Faith and works together. If I say, I believe in Jesus Christ, then I have to put my faith in action. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, please read.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
See what he's trying to say? Now if you believe Jesus Christ in your heart, is anybody going to find out if you really believe that or not? Then what you have to do? You confess with your mouth. You tell somebody, I believe Jesus Christ. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. So, just believing and keeping in your heart and nobody knows, you believed. Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 16, he says, believe and be baptized, then you shall be saved. Now somebody says, do I have to be baptized to be get saved? Jesus Christ is saying, if you believe, then what? Another step to show that you believe, you're going to be baptized, because baptism is the commandment of God. If somebody says, I believe Jesus Christ, but I don't want baptism. I believe in Jesus Christ, I don't want communion. I believe in Jesus Christ, I don't want to pray. I believe in Jesus Christ, I don't want to read the Bible. Is that person is really believing in Christ? No. When you believe in God, you will show some action. You will do something. He said you believe in your heart, nobody knows. You open your mouth and you talk. It's the action. You're talking, you're doing something. And so that's why James is saying, faith without works is dead. That means if you believe, you show it in action. If you don't have faith, if you are not having action, then your faith is dead. If the person is alive, how do you know the person is alive? You see the pulse, boom, boom, boom. Or you see eyes open. Or you see something is doing. If that dead person, can he do something? No. He cannot do anything. He's dead. That's what he says. If you believing in God, then you do something. Act upon it. Tell somebody, I believe Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Tell somebody, I love him and I want to give my life for him. So believing, it comes with works. Works means not doing some works to get saved. Once you are saved, then you do good works. We know in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, when you believe, that you should do good works in what? In Christ Jesus. If you are not in Christ, you cannot do any good things. And so here he says, faith and works goes together to get saved. Let's go back to the 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and start reading from verse 3 to 5. St. Paul is saying, when you're going through all kinds of trials and troubles and problems, don't sit there and say, why this happened to me? God allows you to go through these trials and problems. The reason why, so you will be strong enough, you will have experience, you will have some kind of comfort in your life that God helped me in my situation. So you will be able to help others. Please read.
Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort.
See what he's trying to say? Father of all mercies. So our God is a merciful God. When you're going through trials and tribulations and problems, God is not closing his eyes and he says, I don't want to see him. Let him do whatever he wants to do. No, he's watching over you. Just like a little baby, you keep eye on that baby. And whatever the baby does, you look, kicking, walking, running, doing anything, and you keep your eyes on that baby all the time. The mothers or fathers do not keep eye on that baby. That baby is in danger. That baby can eat anything. Baby can touch anything. Baby can fall from the window and die. And so the mother and father, they have responsibility to watch over that baby. Same way we are the little babies in the eyes of God. The word of God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will watch over you all the time. That is the mercy of God. So he says, our God is all the merciful God and is God of all comfort. Means each and every situation you need comfort from God, he is there. Verse 4.
Who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God.
Who comforted us in all our tribulation. That means you will have comfort in all your tribulation. Now somebody will say, when I had the cancer, I don't know where was God. Or when I had an accident, where was he? He says, I was always there. Do you know that somebody wrote that, I don't know, it's a poem or saying. He says, walking on the sand, he said, two people walking, and all of a sudden, start looking and there is only one footprint. And then the person saying, God, I needed you. Where are you now? Because I don't see your footprint. What is he saying? The footprint you are saying, that's mine. Because I am carrying you. I am keeping, taking care of you. Even though God is carrying that person didn't know that God is watching over me and complaining. That's the way we are. We do not know that God is there. He says, every time you have tribulation, every time you have problems, I am there to comfort you. Somebody says, I don't know how God comforts. Did you beat your child any time very badly, or while you're beating, the child fell down and blood came and then you got so sorry. Why did I do this? What do? You run away from your child? No, you take the child in your hand, you kiss that child, honey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, and you know, you did something wrong, that's what I hate. It hurts me to hit you, but I love you so much. The child get comfort. When child falls and mom comes and say, where did he get hurt? Oh, it feels good. That's what it is. The mom comes to child and kisses and trouble time, that child forgets the problem. That's the way the word of God is saying. When you had the trouble, when you had the problem, I came there to rescue you. You didn't pay attention, but I was there to help you. Verse 5.
For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ.
See, suffering of Christ abound in us means when you suffer the most, the comfort is most. More the trouble, more the comfort. When the children or you are suffering more and you don't understand, but the God says, I am here to comfort you more. That time you may not know it, but He gives you a special grace. Even though you're suffering at that particular time, but you don't feel the pain. And so what I'm trying to say, when the people are having pain and suffering, and I lay hand on their head and I say, Jesus Christ is healing you right now. What happened? That person right away, attention goes to the prayer and believes that God is going to take away this pain. And suddenly that pain is gone. It does work. He took your sorrow, your pain, your sickness, even your death on the cross of Calvary. We have to believe it. If you don't believe it, you will still be suffering. So He said, more the pain, more the comfort. More the pain comes, you should go more closer to God. My children, when they were small, if they do some problem and they run away, I said, don't run from me. You cannot run too fast than Daddy. Daddy will catch you and give you more punishment. So they learned something. When they make a mistake, they come and cling to me. Daddy, I love you, I love you. That you cannot just beat. If they are far away, you can hit them. But when they are clinging to you, you cannot hit them more. And so they learn. And come closer to Daddy, I will be safe. And so that's the way the Word of God says, when you have problem, don't run away from God. Run to God. And then He will take care of you. Okay, now here the Word of God is saying, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, St. Paul is saying, when you're going through trouble or problems, God always gives you victory. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians 2:14.
Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?
Now, when you read this, somebody says, I didn't understand what he's trying to say. First of all, he's saying, God gives you grace and victory in Christ. And he says, you are just like a savior of His knowledge. You are a flavor or the aroma of Christ. Wherever you go, the people see you like you were with Christ. You remember some disciples were coming and the people said, these people were unlearned, uneducated. Where this wisdom came to these people? They said, oh, they were with Christ. Somebody has a heavy perfume, and you stay with that person for a few minutes, and you walk away, somebody says, you smell good. Oh, I didn't have anything. I was just standing with somebody who had the more a perfume. So here Jesus Christ was the sweet-smelling savor to God. Means when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, that was like a sacrificial lamb. And when you take the lamb and cut it and put it on the fire, sweet aroma comes. And so here he says it's a sweet savor. That's aroma. That's flavor coming from you. But you don't have your own. You get it from Christ. Go to the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2.
Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor.
See, sweet-smelling savor, that's the aroma he has given to us. That means when you are with Christ, you are going to have all this sweet perfume or aroma around you. And so he says, when you walk around and go with people, and that aroma is what? The knowledge of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, and everything what Christ has is built in you. So wherever you go, spread that news around. And he says, some people will take it, and they will have eternal life. And some people, even though it's a sweet aroma, to them, it's a death. They say, oh, it's horrible smell. They may not like it. But the people who wants to get saved, who wants to love Jesus, they will like that aroma. They will like that knowledge. They will like that wisdom. They will like that Jesus. And so some people wants to stay around the godly people. When you are godly, you are living a God's life, and then you're like an aroma perfume rubbing to other people. Do you know there is a magnet? You take a magnet and you take a piece of metal and rub that magnet back and forth. Maybe a dozen times. And then keep the magnet away, and that metal becomes magnet for a short period of time. The point I'm making, we are just like Christ. His aroma, his wisdom, his power is rubbing on us. So when we go, we rub that to somebody else and they get life. Because we should be full of life and full of joy and full of God's blessings. And so the Word of God is saying, wherever you go, you always will have victory. He didn't say, sometime we'll defeat, sometime we'll be victory. No, this is not a boxing match. This is not a wrestling match. Sometimes you lose, sometimes you win. In Christ, you never lose. You always win. That's the point. Okay, let's go further. We are going to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Here St. Paul is saying, you are a letter to the people. Now, here he says you are aroma. Now, here he says you are a letter. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2.
Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God.
See, again he's saying, we are the letter written in your heart. What does it mean? Wherever you go, people are going to read you. What is your life? When you are in Christ, people are going to understand this person is godly. This person knows the Word of God. So what I'm trying to say, the people are going to read you. You are the letter from God, written by the Spirit, not on the stone, he says, written in your heart. So we should be always a Christian. Some people are Christian in the church. Outside, they are not Christian. Outside means go outside. You take a cigarette. Who are you? Oh, I saw you in the church the other day. Oh, but that was church. Here, I am a worldly person. One man was smoking a cigarette. He came to the church, and after church, he started smoking. I said, come here, sir. Why didn't you smoke in the church? Oh, that's the temple of God. I said, sir, you got it wrong. If you keep the car there, that will be garage. If you keep this some kind of dirt there, that will be storage. The real temple is your body. God wants to come into your temple. He said, I didn't know that. I said, I'll show you from the Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, he says, don't you know that you are a temple of the living God? And he says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God himself will destroy that person. How much strong language you need, I said. And then the 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, it says that he has purchased you with his own blood. So glorify God with your body, soul, and spirit. So that man got a message. Instantly, he gave up smoking and drinking. So the point I'm making, we are Christian in the church. We have Bible. We have three-piece suit. We talk like a Christian, act like a Christian, sing and praise and everything. Outside you go, you mix with the worldly people. There is no letter written in your heart. People are reading, getting wrong messages. Our message is, I belong to Christ. You want to see Christ? Look at me. Can we say that? What Jesus Christ said, you want to see Father? You see me. If he can say, you want to see Father, see me, the same way we should say, you want to know Jesus? Look at me. Christian means what? Followers of Christ. We are Christians. We are born again. We are not the same people. We were doing all kinds of sins and all kinds of filthy things, but we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now we are transformed. We are new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things became new. So he says, now people are reading your letter. We are the God's letter to people. Wherever we go, the word of God should be in our mouth. Talk to them about Jesus. Talk to them, encourage them. So people like to be around you. Good aroma, good knowledge, good word should come through us. Okay, let's go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Start with verse 6.
For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Now again he's saying, now here he's saying, you are the light to the whole world. We were aroma, we were letter. Now he's saying, you are a light to the whole world. And what we're going to give, we're giving the knowledge of God, the glory of God through Jesus Christ. Let the people see that what you know, we are going to reflect Christ wherever we go. Jesus Christ says, you are the what? Salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. So we are light. Where did we get our light? Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world, right? Amen. So we got it from Christ. Without Christ, we cannot reflect. We just like a mirror. The light comes to mirror, and mirror reflects the light. If there is no light, mirror cannot do any reflection. And so we depend on Christ. If you stay in Christ, you will produce the light. If you are not in Christ, there is a darkness. The word of God says he has called us out of darkness. Go to the Colossians chapter 1, verse 13.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son?
What did he do? He delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That means, once we are born again children of God, we're coming from the darkness. And where are we coming? We're coming in the light. Where we are? In the kingdom of his Son. Now we are not in the kingdom of darkness. All the works of the darkness should pass away. We should be telling people, I used to smoke. I used to drink. I used to fight. I used to do all kinds of things. But now when I received Jesus Christ, I am transformed. I was in the kingdom of darkness. Now I am in the kingdom of light. So we are going to reflect the light of Christ or the message of Christ to the people. Where are we going to preach? We're going to preach the gospel where the people are in darkness. People are in a bad areas. Read the verse, Philippians chapter 2, verse 15.
That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world.
Where is shining? Shine where the people are crooked, liars, deceivers, sinners. There you go. Don't go with a gun. Don't go with the sword or the stick. Go like a meek person, humble person, the godly person. The people will not attack you. They will want to hear you. So the word of God is saying, you go to the places where the people are in the darkness. They need the light. But you go with the meekness and love and show them the Christ has transformed you. Today, this morning, somebody came to me and said, I want to do the evangelical work. Means spreading the gospel, talking to the people. And that's what I used to do. God is saying, you know, time is very short. Once you go and give the salvation message, the people get saved. Tell them, come, we'll take care of you. And some people say, oh, I'm in Washington. I say, give me your address. I'll give the exact church in Washington or anywhere in the world. Just give me your address and we will give you the exact church to go. I will tell to people, go to the church where the full gospel is preached, where the signs and wonders and miracles happens, and the people are concerned about your soul. Go to that church. Not to go to any church. People say, I'm going to transfer from this place to that place. Whatever the church is, my neighborhood, I'll go. No, no, you will be dead. There are people left our church and went to another state, like Florida or Texas or some other places. They say, Pastor Peter, we came here, we have a church, full gospel church, but it's not just like Pastor Peter's preaching. Could you send us a CD? So I'm sending them CD all the time. And so they are growing. The point I'm making, just don't go to any church. Go to church where the full gospel is preached. And when you go and tell somebody, say, hey, come to my church. You're going to see signs and wonders and miracles. Whatever the sickness you have, come. Our church is the healthiest church, do you know? Most of the time, our church members do not have a request for prayer for healing. Most of the people are healed. So point I'm making, the word of God is saying, we are coming from the darkness and coming in the marvelous light of Jesus Christ, and we are in his kingdom. And we have to go and tell people to come. First of all, we are delivered. There is a purpose to bringing you out of this misery. Go to the 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. We are not ordinary people. We were sinners. We were in the dark. We had no value. We were dying without God and without Christ. But see what God has done.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Can you imagine when you read this verse, he says, you are chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people, and this kind of qualification you have. And he says, God has called you out of darkness. For what? To give light to other people. Just tell somebody, I thank God that I was a sinner, but now I'm saved. Thank God I was sick, but now I'm saved. God has chosen me to tell you what God has done. How many people go and tell others that I'm saved? They're afraid. They said, oh, if I tell people I gave up smoking, I don't know if I take it tomorrow. Then they will be coming, yesterday you said you gave up smoke. Don't worry. You, when you give up, you believe that God has given me victory. You're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're going to say, I was sinner, now I'm saved. I was living a filthy life, now I'm changed. That's the testimony. People want to hear. There are some people saying, is this true that
people can live a godly life, a marvelous life? I said, yes, I'm a witness. Can people live without sickness and disease? Sickness and disease always they will try to throw on you, just like a dart he's throwing. But we have faith. We can quench all his darts. We can get victory. We just learned a few minutes ago, we get victory all the time. We are not going to be defeated. We are going to have victory over all our problems because God has called us with a definite purpose. He did not call you to go down. He has called you to go up. He has called you to be his witness on this earth. Jesus Christ is not here bodily. We are. The Word of God says we are his body. We are his hands. We are his feet. So we are the one walking and talking and telling other people about Jesus Christ. If we don't do it, who will do it? Okay, and now let's go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Now here we read, we are the light. Now here his seventh verse, he said, we are the treasure.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Now again he's saying, we have this treasure. Where is that treasure? In earthen vessel. Do you know this body is made by clay, mud, dust? But if you have the earthen vessel, whatever you put it in that vessel, the value goes up or down. If you keep your all the gold and silver and everything in earthen vessel, an earthen vessel is valuable to you. Why? Because it has something special, treasure in it. So that's the way the Word of God is saying, I have put something of precious in this earthen vessel. What did he put it? He has given us Holy Spirit. He has given the Word of God. He has given us his power. He has given us everything in this earthen vessel. So he said, you don't have to be brag about. Just like I said a few minutes ago, the light comes on the mirror. Mirror reflects the light. Mirror cannot boss around. I am the one giving light. With the light is not coming to your mirror, you cannot reflect. So he says, all this treasure is an earthen vessel, but all this power and all this glory comes from God. Without God, we are nothing. But when Jesus Christ came into our life, we became precious. Now we are so precious in the sight of God. We are greater than the angels. We are greater than the Old Testament people. We are greater than all the people in the world. Why? Because we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So we are special people. We have the treasure of God in us. World is looking for those kind of treasure. You have to say, hey, listen, what I have, God can give it to you also, because we are all God's people. But we have to spread this gospel. What God has given to us, he has given him his wisdom, his knowledge, his power, everything. The Word of God says God has given power to everybody. All born-again believers, the Word of God says, they should lay hand and sick will be recovered. He has put that power in us, but we are not using it. And the Word of God says, that power is not yours, it's Christ. Don't brag about it. God has given you power, but you are showing to somebody, I have it. Nobody has it. This is all God's power is given to you, and you should be humble enough to show it to other people. The Word of God says the people get healed by the finger of God. The Word of God says, lay hand, God will heal. We are the power of God. God has given to us. And so the Word of God is saying, you know, you let the people know. But you cannot brag about it. You cannot do anything. You just reflect the light of Jesus Christ and power of God and let the people see God's power. Okay, let's read the verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8.
We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed.
See, here it says, when you're doing the Lord's work, reflecting light, showing the, what you call, your letter of God, or the treasure of God, and you're doing so many other things, and so the people do not like you. Only godly people, we heard a few minutes ago, the God's favor or savior can save somebody, and the same favor or same aroma can kill somebody. Because to one is giving life, to another is giving death. So that means if somebody doesn't like you, what they will do trouble to you. Most of the time, the trouble comes for the Christian people. They were asking a child a question, who created the mankind? The one child said, God did it. He said, we don't want to hear it. He said, it's the truth. He said, if you tell one more time, I'll kick you out of the school. The point I'm making, they can do Urdu in the school. They can do Muslim prayer in the school. They can do Halloween party in the school. But they cannot do reading Bible or prayer in the school. Why? Because they are afraid of Christ. What the Word of God is saying, go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Why? Please read.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Why he is blinding the minds of the unbelievers? Do you know he has no power to blind your mind, blind your eyes? Why? Because Christ lives in you. He's afraid of Christ. In the James chapter 2, we just read, the devil believes in God and what? He trembles. He's afraid of Jesus Christ. He's afraid of name of Jesus. He's afraid of blood of Jesus. So we don't have to worry. Even though he is the God of what? This world. He is not God over me. My God is Jesus. My Lord is Jesus. My King is Jesus. I'm not going to bow down my head to this devil. Because he is blinding the minds of the unbeliever. And what is his agenda? They should not see the God image in Jesus Christ. They don't want to see Jesus is God. Why the Muslim people are afraid of Bible? Because they know once they start reading the Bible, they are going to be Christians. Now they said, we don't want Bible. But now the satellites going in their houses, and they are reading the Bible. They are having the prayer meeting in their house. They are seeing the miracles in their house. And hundreds and thousands of Muslims coming to Christ, and they cannot control it. Pretty soon, many Muslims will come to Christ. China, they said, we don't want Bible. Many people secretly took the Bible there. Even though they said, don't bring it. Today, in China, millions, not one or two, millions of people coming to Christ. And I'm thinking someday China will be a Christian country. Russia, they said, we don't want Christianity here. Today, they want the satellite and their TVs in the every orphanage, every school, and every prison. America doesn't want, but Russia wants it. And the Russians are getting Christians. Chinas are coming to Christ. Now, Indians, they were persecuting Christians, and many people died recently, last couple of years ago. But I heard the report other day, thousands of Indians are coming to Christ. So we have revival going all around the world. Everywhere the Bible is prohibited, the Christianity is prohibited, but the God's word is going forward. So here the word of God is saying, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, the greater one is living in you. Amen. Now who is in the world? The devil, the king of this world. But he has no power to do any harm to you. He says we are always going to what? Victorious. Jesus Christ said in St. John chapter 16, verse 33. Please read. I have overcome the world.
These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Now, so once we have this kind of assurance, Jesus Christ has overcome the world. So what? We are also overcomer. The word of God says we are more than what? Conqueror. So don't look at this body. Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Read from 16 to 18.
For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
See, our outward man is perishes. What is this body? This body is made by clay. So even though you live 100 years, 200 years, one day we are going to die. But when we are in Christ, this body, even though perishing away, but inner man is getting younger and younger every day. You have more power, more energy in your spirit than your body. So don't worry, your outward man perishing. Inward man is the real man. Real man is spirit. This spirit God made eternal. That spirit will never die. That spirit can go to hell or go to heaven. So the word of God is saying, even outward man perishing every day, but the inner man is renewed day by day. So are we getting older? No. We are getting younger every day. As your spirit is young, that's your body will be stronger. Your spirit is down, you have no strength. So the power comes from inside out. So that's why your spirit is strong. That Jesus Christ lives in you, then your body will be renewed. So the word of God says, don't worry about the outward man. The inward man has to be strong. And that is spirit. And we got the spirit of God. We had the spirit of Christ. We got the Holy Spirit. We are mighty conqueror. When you get the bad news, what I tell people, they say, oh, Pastor Peter, we got a news. I say, hold on, I have a new news. Go to the Isaiah 53 and start reading from first verse. He says, who has heard our report? And then read the whole chapter. What is the report? Jesus Christ came, died on the cross of Calvary. He took your sickness, disease on the cross. And with his stripes, you are healed. That is the good report. Don't take the bad report from the doctor. Go to the word of God. And then your mind, your spirit will be renewed. We are always going to be conqueror. Shall we rise? We will continue next week, God willing. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are unchangeable God. You have called us with a definite high calling. And your word says you are going to be winner always. The devil wants to defeat us, but you have defeated the devil already. Your word says we are more than a conqueror. So we are going to live in this world victoriously. When the time comes when you call us, we will be ready. And then you say, faithful servant. And so, Lord Jesus, we want to please you and do your will and please my heavenly Father who called me with a definite high calling. Bless your people. supply their needs, protect them from all the dangers and harm, and let them shine for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Please be seated.